everybody, and welcome to episode 71 of the Big Planet Comics Podcast.
Hello.
Welcome.
My name is Kevin.
I'm Nick.
I'm Jared.
And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and get it in all the different places, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook.
But
our webpage.
Yes, that's kind of the new thing this week with the webpage.
Pictures. We're gonna put up interior pictures of all the art from the books, which is pretty cool
that we're reviewing this week.
That's
not all the books.
Not all the books ever, but yeah, that's something that Jared is doing, so thanks Jared. And we're gonna have a new cool picture from Paulina Ganichot, who drew our best of the year thing.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, so she's drawn something pretty awesome, but I'm
super excited.
You'll have to look and see what it is. And also, we're gonna beg people for iTunes reviews because we want to get a better ranking on iTunes.
Yeah.
So I checked on there. We've had 18 or 19 reviews so far.
Which is awesome. Thanks you guys for those. I almost pressed the crickets button.
But they are all, as of now, 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
We're just gonna get a bunch of 1-star reviews.
Yeah.
Well, Jared said it doesn't matter if they're good reviews or bad reviews.
That's a rumor. I would appreciate the better reviews.
Yeah, but definitely if you guys want to give us a review, just go for
it. Get on iTunes and click the star, and then you could write something about us. That would be exciting to read.
Yeah, you can write about our dulcet tones.
That's true.
Or you can write about this. I can't even remember what that's from anymore, but it's awesome.
Best show ever.
But yeah, so what have you guys been doing?
Shaking and baking. I can't remember.
You've been watching Top Gun 3D.
Oh, is that in 3D now?
Yeah.
I told you, man, that got me through 9/11. It was awesome.
What?
Wait, what? I watched Top Gun 2 days after 9/11 happened. I was like, yeah, America, we can take on those guys with the dark helmets and the red stars. And I felt better about ourselves.
Jared was living in the past.
Played some beach volleyball. I'm like, take that, Al Qaeda.
I watched a show with my wife about defunct British boy bands.
Nice.
And
did that get you through 9/11?
Well, no. One of the bands was called 911.
No!
And they were like... we got really unpopular September 11th.
Wow.
I was like, that's the true tragedy. But
because they're British and they're like, we really, you know, ever thought everyone would be worried about the attacks on 11/9 in America. And it didn't go so well for us.
And everybody hated Tony Blair over there, too. And they were all Tony Blair's nephews. That's not a true story.
That the best boy band ever.
The Blair Boys.
The Blair Boys.
They're the best.
Blair Witch Project.
The BBs.
If it was like his nieces, the Blair Witch Project.
Or his butlers.
His butlers. The Blair Butlers.
Blair's Butlers, yeah.
Indeed.
All right, are we not running Hollywood? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question. But anyway, check out the movie, the Blair Butler Project. It's going to be really good. The director had a tough time, but he kept Grace under fire.
Nice.
All right, anyway. Yeah, let's just do some news. You want to do it?
Yeah.
All right.
First of all, in the sunny side of things, DC cancels 6 titles.
Oh, boy.
Finally.
DC.
Hello.
Oh, wait.
What was that?
I have no idea. That was an old podcast question.
Sneak preview. All right. So, in May, Deathstroke, Hawkman, Team 7, Firestorm, Ravagers, and Sword of Sorcery are all getting canceled.
Now, some of those have been around since the beginning, right?
September.
Since
the third.
But some are like Ravagers and Sword of Sorcery are both pretty new books. Yeah.
And Team 7. All three of those.
Actually, Team
7
is kind of the surprise on there to me.
Same with Sword of Sorcery. It's not selling great, but I thought that and Team 7 are both pretty good.
Yeah, and Team 7 has Justin Jordan, who just got moved over to Deathstroke, right? Now that's getting canceled as well, so.
Ew, really?
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to move him onto something else. He's one of the few kind of young, good writers they have.
Up-and-comers,
yeah.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, so I they're replacing these 6 books with 5 new books.
Wait,
so
5
new 52.
That's what I read. Oh, yeah. So are they still putting new 52 on their books? Yeah. I think they are.
Oh yeah.
Maybe they have a 52nd one or some other one.
Maybe it's a secret book. Maybe
it's Constantine's coming out. Is that one of them?
What, Kwanzaa team?
Kwanzaa team. Constantine.
Kwanzaa team.
Kwanzaa team. Go. Constantine. Yeah, maybe Constantine was already announced before this. So that's it.
So we gotta cancel something.
In other DC news, in April, DC is doing their WTF certified covers or issues, I guess. So basically, I guess the mandate was that in April, something really crazy has to happen in every DC book, which seems like a ridiculous thing to ask of a writer. Make sure something really crazy happens in your book this month.
A really bad idea.
And I guess I just heard about this from Nick
and
like
the gimmick,
a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Well, they have these fold-out covers?
Yeah, the gimmick is that they have like a gatefold cover. So the front cover will be somebody with like a shocked look on their face, and then you'll fold it out, and then like something really crazy will be on the other side. I saw one of them. One of them kind of leaked online, which actually might be spoilers, but I don't know.
Whatever. Was like, spoilers. Tell people what it
so,
is.
So one of them is like the cover is like Red Hood, and like the front cover is half of his mask, and it looks kind of beat up. And then the other half is like the mask completely shattered, and his face looks like it's been cut off on the inside.
What?
And I was like, spoilers for something. I don't know if it's a spoiler for Death of the Family
probably
or anything.
Death of the Family, yeah.
Ugh.
But it might not be. I don't know. It might just be something else. He gets his face cut off separately.
Thing. Yeah,
that's a crazy thing. You were saying one of the customers at your at the DC location where Jared and Nick work was like, you don't really want people to open up your books and be like, WTF.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no. That's like a negative thing. Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not reading this anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like OMG would have been a better route to go with that. Like,
I think they should have gone with YOLO.
YOLO, yeah, yeah.
Or Gangnam Style. Hashtag Gangnam Style.
OMZ. Oh my Zeus.
Oh my.
Bringing him back.
Oh my Za. Eating some pizza.
Oh my God. So yeah, I thought
again,
it was.
Why aren't we running the comic book companies?
I thought it was
too.
An April Fool's Day joke, but apparently it's not.
It could be.
One of the worst thing I heard about this whole thing is that all of the covers have for that month also have variant covers by all the Mad magazine artists.
Well,
really?
That's fun though.
But I was like, why don't they just do that for the covers
regular
like
one.
Normally?
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
because some people will be like, oh, this isn't cool.
Yeah. This like, what is this cartoony style? I hate this comic book now. It's not serious.
That sounds fun, though. At least the variant covers sound fun.
Yeah.
So out of every 25 to 50 people will see a great cover.
Because usually the DC, they do these black and white variants, and they're like, every once in a while, they're kind of cool because it's like, oh, J.H. Williams art really big. But a lot of times it's like, oh, somebody's unfinished art that was never really meant to be seen like this.
Yeah, right.
Really big.
Yep.
But yeah.
All right. Oh, man, there's a lot of news. Another thing we got. Marvel and Hyperion have announced a young adult series of novels based on Rogue and She-Hulk.
Yeah, so I should say thanks to The Beat, the Publisher Weekly comic blog. That's where I got all these news posts from. So
nice.
Thanks, The Beat.
Yeah, they're
some of them came from me.
That's really, yeah, that's true. Some of them also came from me.
From our reporter in the field, Nick Liapish.
Yeah, so this isn't like a big thing, but it's kind of fun. They're doing like, it's going to be all... girl superheroes, woman superheroes, and they're starting out with She-Hulk and Rogue, and it's all going to be kind of like in the Marvel universe, so it's like about She-Hulk being a lawyer and about, you know, Rogue being on the X-Men and stuff.
That's pretty cool.
It seems like fun. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah.
Stuff's always
next
weird.
Next up on Marvel-related news, Marvel announced that they've cast the role of Star-Lord for the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and they've cast Chris Pratt.
Which is awesome.
Which is incredible.
Because Chris Pratt is Andy on Parks and Recreation, he's hilarious on that show. And he was also in Moneyball.
Yeah. And he was in Zero Dark Thirty, and he was, like, jacked up.
Oh, he was. He was jacked up to the gills.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a...
It was, like, on E! It was the SAG Awards or whatever, and Jessica Chastain was on there. And they were like, Jessica Chastain tonight looking Zero Dark flirty in a red dress.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Such poor taste.
It's terrible.
I thought it was great.
But yeah, this news is kind of awesome because I think Marvel's been doing a pretty good job with like a lot of their casting. Like almost every part of their casting has been great.
I'm not a big fan of James Gunn, who's directing the movie. Yeah. I know Nick likes him.
Yeah, I like James
Gunn. He wrote the Scooby-Doo movies, which I always like to point out first.
And a bunch of Troma movies.
And a bunch of Troma movies. He wrote and directed Tromeo and Juliet.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It sounds great.
Yeah, I like Chris Pratt. So, you know, at least they're going fun. I heard also like Jim Carrey or something for Groot or
Rocket Raccoon.
I'm not as into that, but we'll see.
Mm. At least it's just their voice. Hopefully it won't be too.
Yeah, maybe he's doing like Fireman Bill stuff.
Yeah.
Or Fire Marshal Bill or whatever that stupid crap is called.
Yep.
All right. Next up, we got more Hollywood news. Six Gun by the book by Cullen Bunn and, what's his name? Hoboy.
Hurt? No.
Yeah, Brian Hurt.
Is it Brian Hurt?
Yep.
Yeah. Is getting made into a NBC TV show. They're making a pilot for it. And Carlton Cuse of Lost fame is producing it, which is pretty
which seems cool.
Did he insist Damon Lindelof not be involved? So I'm excited.
I think Lindelof is off doing
Star Wars or Star Trek or both.
Lost 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds pretty good, though.
That's cool.
Pretty excited. There's a Six Gun show, a Chew show, a Powers show coming out. It's pretty interesting.
We'll have to talk about Lost when we talk about the Jeff Lemire Green Arrow comic, because there's a really funny part in that that's exactly from Lost.
Yeah.
I think Six Gun is perfect for a TV show.
Yep.
It's kind of anthologized a little bit. There's like a big
overarching storyline, lots of sharp characters, but told in little segments of their mini quests.
No other Wild West supernatural shows on TV.
No, not at the moment.
No,
there have been a ton, but
yeah.
Okay, last bit of news.
Yep.
But definitely not least
of all. Yeah, comics. So Superman Family has been canceled, and what's the guy's name? Art Baltazar
and Franco.
James Franco.
Franco.
Just Franco.
After that happened, they put out a Kickstarter for their new comic called Aw Yeah Comics, which is going to be about 6 issues and in a few hours.
12.
Is it 12?
Did
it get extended?
They've already committed. 12?
They said you guys might go in.
Yep. It might have got extended because of this, because in a few hours, they hit their target of 15,000. Like, in a few hours, that's insane.
Yeah.
They made 15,000.
Yeah, this is on Kickstarter. And yeah, it's cool. It's kind of, like, sad at the same time, because it's like, with how well Teen Titans or Tiny Titans did, and I feel like Superman Family Adventures must do okay.
Right.
Like, they haven't even waited for a trade to come out before they decided to cancel this, which is unfortunate.
Crazy.
But I'm glad they're going to still be doing stuff, and it looks like it's definitely in the same vein.
Yeah.
And it'll be fun.
Yep.
But,
so hop on their Kickstarter if you want to get some. Otherwise, if you're in the area, we will get some for you. So just let us know.
But so no kids comics for anybody. I saw this this thing from Roger Langridge that this made me think of it, where he was basically, it was a quote saying, like, you know, Marvel and DC, they have all these characters that they sort of market towards kids, but it's impossible for a kid to go into a comic store right now and really find something on their own and be able to tell whether it's age appropriate or not. I mean, there are ratings on all the books, but basically they're all T for teens. Yeah. So it's tough. And especially now that Superman Family Adventures is gone, and I think Young Justice is also ending, and Marvel's Marvel Universe line is, pretty
Spider-Man and
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Avengers,
but besides that, I mean, that's a pretty paltry offering.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unfortunate, but, you know, I guess these things happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for news.
That's it.
That's all right. We should be talking about more news anyway.
True. We should.
All right. Well, we got a bunch of questions. So you guys want to get into those?
Sure.
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, our first questions come from Twitter. This is from Anwar Starwind from the Star Wars movies
universe.
I just heard a reference to the guy who did the makeup for Yoda just passed, and so they're talking about him on NPR, and they're like, from the Star Wars galaxy. And I'm just like, what? That's amazing.
I did see he said that he based Yoda. I feel like we should know the guy's name, but anyway. He based Yoda on half on himself and half on Albert Einstein.
Right. That's awesome.
So Anwar Starwind says, first, what a brother gotta do to get y'all. He puts his apostrophe after the A in y'all. I definitely usually put it after the Y. But to sing the 90s Iron Man cartoon theme, that's not going to happen. Sorry.
The 90s Iron Man cartoon theme?
Isn't it
pretty much like, Iron Man?
Are you talking about the kid that came in and was like, not a war machine?
That was the best.
Yeah. So that's how that goes.
I don't remember how it goes.
We need some reference. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
I remember it has him like
there's like terrible working, CGI.
Like working on an anvil, like pumping away on some armor or whatever.
Oh, man.
Pumping away on
pumping
that
iron.
Anvil.
Yeah.
And then he's got some more questions. So how many teams is Wolverine on?
7.
Is that right? Did you research that?
That was a guess. I feel it's pretty accurate.
Well, let's see. He's got Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yep.
Is he in all new X-Men? Not much.
He's in Uncanny Avengers.
He's in Uncanny Avengers.
Is he on regular? Wait, Uncanny X-Force.
Yeah,
wait,
and he's in regular Avengers as well.
Yeah, but he's in regular Avengers. He's not in Uncanny X-Force anymore.
But are we counting those as different teams?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe.
Well, X-Force is a slightly different team, at least.
Yeah.
And Uncanny Avengers and Avengers are two different teams.
Yeah.
I think it's only 3 right now.
Is that it?
Yeah.
And then he's Oh, God.
Because the new X-Men book that's about to come out is an all-female team.
Yeah, because he's not in any X-Force book.
And he's not in the new X-Force, yeah. So just three.
Three?
Yeah. And then...
Man, he's getting old.
So there are three questions here. The first two are related, and the second one's, like, completely different. So who's overused more, Wolverine or Deadpool? I think Wolverine.
I don't know. Deadpool had, like, 12 books a couple of times a few years ago.
Yeah, maybe Deadpool.
No, I think still Wolverine, though.
It's still Wolverine, but Deadpool is not as glaring as Wolverine.
Wolverine,
like, when you and Deadpool's there, you always are like, ah, it's him.
Wolverine, they had to, at one point, like, have... A comic explaining how Wolverine is in so many comics.
That's true.
Which was a really funny comic, actually. But, I mean, actually, to me, neither of them are really overused. I mean, they're both used a lot, but, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It's just whatever. Comic books.
No one's sad to see Wolverine.
I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wolverine's cool. And then his third question, what are your favorite anime shows?
Cowboy Bebop.
Three-part question. How many teams is Wolverine on? Part two, who's overused more, Wolverine or Deadpool? Part three, what's your favorite anime show?
Wolverine.
You can't say the X-Men anime.
The Wolverine anime.
No, I'll go Cowboy Bebop.
Cowboy Bebop.
That's probably one of my favorites. It might be my favorite. I don't know.
I've been watching a lot of Macross.
Oh, yeah?
Macross. Yeah, it's...
See, you just got to have the right thing to get us to sing it.
Yeah, and Macross is pretty awesome. And I love Dragon Ball Z.
Dragon Ball Z, always good.
I like Cowboy Bebop. I like also Samurai Champloo, which was made by the same guys as Cowboy Bebop.
Yep, that's good.
And just to go weird, there's a show I like a lot that's called Magical Shopping Arcade of Benabashi.
Nice.
Good pull.
Oh, there was one I liked. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, God. Desert Punk? That's it.
Yeah. Desert Punk is a thing. Desert Peach is a thing.
Desert Punk is awesome. It's about this, like young
punk
dude that's living.
Does he live in the
desert?
Yeah,
he's a young punk that lives in the desert and rides around in a tank.
See, high concept here.
He rides around in a tank, and he's, like, super lascivious. It's pretty great.
Oh. Sounds good. Yeah, I also like Studio Ghibli movies and the movie Akira.
Indeed.
It's true.
That's a good movie.
It's the total sum of anime.
Indeed. All right, so we also have, we've got some voicemails this week.
Multiple?
How did that happen?
It just, people called in our number.
Did someone call the wrong number?
I don't know. I guess we're about to find out. Here, okay. Let's take a listen.
Hey, guys, this is Dave Collins. I'm file number 36 at the DC store. Wanted to get your feedback on what you think of your personal top three Marvel Now titles, which is your favorite first, second, and third in those orders. Cool. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the question, Dave. He wants to know our personal top three Marvel Now books. Nick is the big Marvel guy, so let's start with you.
Marvel Now. Probably the top one is...
Yep, he wants the number one first.
All right, I'm gonna go with Avengers.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Even after the creative team change of the new artist.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's still really good.
Yeah, okay.
All new X-Men.
Yeah,
which is great.
It's really good.
It's a tough one, man.
You got some ties, some toss ups.
Yeah, I don't know, between Thor, Captain America, and Spider-Man. I don't know. Those are.
Oh yeah,
those are all good.
I totally did not count Spider-Man
of those,
as a Marvel
of
now.
Those
book.
Three, I'll go with. Thor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna back it up, flip it, and reverse it and say Thor is my number one because it's awesome.
It is.
It's really good.
And epic in the best way. Honestly, I'm reading a lot of them, but they're all kind of blurring. It's like really good, but like Thor's the standout for me. So I don't know if I could pick a two or three.
All right. Well, I'm going to say I'm going to go a completely different direction from you guys. And New Avengers is my favorite Marvel
Now
book.
That is really
good.
Yeah.
I am really enjoying it a lot. It reminds me a lot of Hickman's run on Fantastic Four in the best kind of way. And
is that the one with the Illuminati?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really
good. That's up in my tier three. Yeah.
And then number two for me would be Superior Spider-Man. I love how much people hate that book. And but mostly I just love how much I love that book.
It's really funny.
Probably number three would be Thor as well, because Thor is
Thor
awesome.
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for the question, Dave. Let's go now to another.
Oh, wait. Young Avengers.
Young Avengers is my
really
number
good.
One. New Avengers is my number two.
And
Thor is my number three.
FF is really
and
good.
And
FF's
my number one.
FF is great.
God. Yeah. I'm going to go with Young Avengers, New Avengers, Superior Spider-Man.
Nice.
And then FF.
FF.
And then Thor.
They're also good.
Extra rankings for you, Dave.
There's too many good ones.
That's the real answer. All right, so we've got other voicemails. We got other questions. What do you guys want to
read? Read a question. We'll alternate the rare flowers of the voicemails.
All right, so this is a question from Mike. He's Mike Kogel. He's asked us some questions before, but it's been a while. He says, howdy.
Howdy.
Sorry I haven't written in a long time. I'm not usually a fan of Dreamcasting a comics movie. But what do you think of this idea? Doctor Strange played by Jeremy Davies. Things he's got going on for him besides the right hair color, he's kind of an oddball, and he already built up a whole library of weird hand gestures.
Is that the guy from Back to the Future?
Yeah, who is Jeremy Davies?
I had to look it up. He was in Spanking the Monkey.
Oh, wow.
He was on Lost?
Yes, and he was on Lost.
Who did he play
on
Lost?
He's the guy that looks like... dude from Back to the Future. What's his face?
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah. Weird.
No, he looks like Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Really? You think so?
He looks a lot like Crispin Glover.
He looks like a heroin addict. He looks like
Crispin Glover.
he looks like Christian Bale in that movie where he's like in a POW camp.
Rescue Don.
Yes, he looks like Christian Bale in that movie or in the movie The Machinist.
Nice.
I think that's actually kind of all right.
Huh.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think he can be pretty good.
He's got a good level of weirdness to him.
Yeah, I think it's fun to, like, you know, think of who would play who in a movie like that.
So when we take over Hollywood, we won't just be like confused. We'll just roll right in.
Yeah, we'll just take all our ideas from people that send in questions to the podcast.
That'd be awesome.
And we'll be good to go. I also think the guy who plays Star on Deadwood, whose name I can't remember right now, the guy that everybody thought was going to play the governor in Walking Dead and didn't end up playing him, I think he would also be a good Doctor Strange. But he looks a lot like Jeremy Davies as well, so we can just go with Jeremy
Davies.
Here,
yeah. Yes. Right.
Well, thanks for the question, Mike. I guess the question was, what do we think? And we think it's a good
Well
idea.
Done, sir.
Good
well done.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to the phone line again. This is a crazy day, you
Unprecedented.
Guys. All right, let's do this.
Hello, Planet Comics Podcast. Hi, it's Jessica. So this week, I would like to pose a hypothetical scenario for you guys. Let's say that your name is also Jessica, and you happen to be a member of a book club, but it's called Woman Club for reasons that are probably obvious. So February is your month to pick a book. What book would you pick, and why? Here are some criteria in case you're unfamiliar with a woman club. Number one, probably not anything too gory. Number two, probably not anything fantasy, even though as a Jessica, it is your preference, but still. Number three, something the women can talk about during Snacks on Snacks. Number four, something that's going to be real good. Okay, that's all. Thank you guys so much. Bye, 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 bye.
All right, thanks, Jessica, for that long question.
always good to hear from you.
So if you didn't, sometimes I feel like the questions are a little hard to hear, but basically Jessica's got a book club and she wants
to... There's a hypothetical Jessica that might have a book club.
Right, true. But basically, Jessica's got a book club. A woman's book club. And she wants us to help her pick a book out. And nothing too gory, probably not any fantasy stuff. And they're going to eat snacks on snacks on snacks. Yeah, they're eating all of them.
I'd say The Brothers Karamazov.
This is going to be a graphic novel.
Illustrated edition.
Question. My first thought was Habibi.
True.
Because
a good call.
I think it's a really interesting book, and
it's got a
great core
on.
Story, but it also there's a lot to talk about
right.
that book.
Yeah.
You can talk about the relationships between the characters, you can talk about kind of the setting and how it's a mixture of these different places. You can talk about the use of the Arabic language as art inside of it and things like that. It's just
then
an all
around. You can eat a
book.
Lot of snacks and get them on the book and you be can, like, why'd you make us
you
read this really long comic
eat
book?
Hot Cheetos. You can eat Takis. You can eat snacks on snacks on snacks.
That's you could eat hummus.
You could eat hummus.
It's hummus.
Yeah,
hummus.
Oh, sorry, Neek.
It's Nico, please.
So I see you looking around, Nick. What do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, because
I have other ones.
I'm like sixth gun. No,
no.
Yeah, nothing too gory. Got some zombies.
I think there's also a lot of great nonfiction stuff, which is good for book clubs.
Yeah, Fun Home might be a good one. That certainly has a lot going on. It's a nice mix of like biography with like analysis of how this creator Alison Bechdel deals with her dad growing up and his coming out, and a lot of themes going on in that. A lot of use of comic book stuff, too. Not just, like, telling a straight ahead story, but a lot of good layouts and stuff.
But still accessible to non-comics readers. Also, I think Pyongyang by Guy Delisle, which is being made into an animated film, by the way.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty awesome.
Is he having it made by the North Korean cartoonist that he is supervising?
I hope so. That would be amazing. Which is just about an animator, a French animator living in North Korea. And also a couple other nonfiction books. Exit Wounds by Rutu Modan is a great book. Yeah. That is very... It's just like a heartbreaking story, but it's really well done. And also, I mean, we just did all our Best of the Year stuff. What about Nahua Brown?
Yep, Nahua Brown is a good one.
Great.
It's about a girl who's got a slight mental problem, who's trying OCD-ish. To deal with it and deal with relationships, and it's cool. It's great. Everything We Miss is good.
Everything
it's a little short.
I think everything. Yeah, I think the thing with Everything We Miss too is it's like. It's so comics-y. Like, there's he's so smart with comics, but I think it's in a way that might be hard for maybe, like, a laywoman.
But it's short enough.
Yeah.
You get it.
Oh, I'd say, actually, the photographer, who drew that? Was that Guy Bear?
Yes, Emmanuel
Guy Bear. Yeah, drew that about one of his friends who's a photojournalist who went to Afghanistan during the 80s when the Soviets were invading Afghanistan and documented it. And then Guy Bear filled in all the parts that he didn't take pictures of. So it's like a mix of documentary and like comics art, and really I learned more about Afghanistan from that than anything I've ever read or seen on TV. So also very pretty.
I'll just throw in one more, just a little oddball book. Too Cool to Be Forgotten by Alex Robinson,
right,
which is about a guy that tries to quit smoking and he's hypnotized to be taken back to the time when he had a first cigarette, and then as an adult he relives his years in middle school, and it's a really fun book and ends up being really emotionally it'll just tear you apart. But it's great as well.
Really good.
Yeah, so hopefully those will get you going.
Yep.
And
six graphic novels, February Woman Club.
Yeah, you guys are going to be busy.
They got pictures.
We have more. We don't have any more written questions.
What?
But we've got more voicemail questions.
What? Sorry.
Yeah, really?
Let's do this.
Hey, guys. This is James Asmus. Among other things, I'm co-writer of End Times of Bram and Ben. And I just wanted to thank you guys for taking some time on your show to review and talk about the book. I know we're under a lot of people's radar, so I sincerely appreciate you giving us your time. Even though it was something of a split decision, I'm glad we could get some chuckles in across, and really thrilled to be someone's pick of the week. So thank you, guys, and I sincerely enjoyed the podcast, too. Thanks.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. That wasn't even a question, but...
I think it was a question of how awesome are we? Pretty awesome.
Except for me.
You suck, Kevin. End Times.
I reread End Times, and I liked it even more. So thanks, James, for doing good comedy.
You're just saying that.
No. I said that before.
I didn't reread it, but, you know.
You should. It's pretty great.
I
liked it.
I didn't dislike the book. We're here to be critical.
Wait, isn't number two next week?
I think it is.
I challenge you to read one again and number two.
Well, I mean, I'm going to read number two. It wasn't like that kind of thing.
Okay.
It wasn't like...
I'm never reading this.
It wasn't like...
like Son of Merlin.
Yeah, it wasn't like Son of Merlin. But anyway, thanks, James, for thanking us. And we thank you for writing a comic.
Yeah. And
it was really good.
It's good to encourage people to read stuff that isn't DC or Marvel or... You know, because
it may
different.
Get canceled.
Yeah.
And it's always good to remind me that I'm hurting feelings.
Just making
people sad.
Ruining consensuses.
Just snacks on snacks on snacks. Well, that's it for our lengthy question section this week.
Yeah, lengthy news segment, lengthy question.
I like this, though. You know, sometimes I feel like the reviews kind of dominate.
True.
And I don't know.
We like hearing from you guys.
Yeah, we like hearing from you guys. And if with that in mind... You should email us at podcast@bigplanetcomics.com or on Twitter at Big Planet Comics or on our Facebook.
Or our very popular hotline.
Our now very popular hotline at 1-703-539-CAST. That is the number 1-703-539-CAST.
Yeah.
Or maybe CATS.
Whatever.
Those are the same.
However you spell cats.
Cats. I love it.
Yeah,
and if
so
you guys are like...
That one is Jessica's number.
That's our private number.
Yeah, call her at 1-703-539-CATS.
But yeah, if you guys are like walking down the street, like kicking this on your big boombox over your shoulder, don't worry. Like, if you don't have a piece of paper in your pocket or you don't want to write on your shoe or anything, This is all on the webpage.
It's all on our webpage, www.bigplanetcomics.com.
Don't try to write all this down.
Slash.
Don't try to write all this down while you're driving.
Yeah.
Indeed. Okay, well, that's it for all that, and we should do some reviews. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Let's do it. Hold on, this keyboard thing's not working.
We love comics, they're swell, except when they're written by Scott Lobdell.
I prefer important books like Louis Riel.
It's time for reviews.
All right, it is time for reviews.
Yes.
All right, so first this week we've got a book, new Image book. Is this an ongoing series, you guys?
Dia de los Muertos. It's a miniseries.
It's a miniseries called Dia de los Muertos. Hopefully these guys do not call us talking about our review of this book. No,
Spoilers.
The first story, this is broken up into three stories, which are all about the Day of the Dead. And, I don't know, just like...
Well, the original pitch I heard for this was like Riley Rossimo wanted a bunch of writers to write him stories for this, and then he would draw them. Uh-huh. The weird thing is, he doesn't draw all of them.
He draws one of them, right?
He draws two.
Oh, okay. So the first story in here is by Alex Link, who did Rebel Blood with Riley Rossimo. And Riley Rossimo also did a bunch of other stuff. He did Proof and Cowboy and Ninja Viking. And
He does Bedlam.
Yeah, Bedlam, that's coming out now.
New one, yeah.
Yep, and it's the first story is kind of the weirdest story in a way.
Yeah.
It's the one that goes
nowhere. I was like, is this continued in the next issue? Because I'm not sure that it ended.
Yeah, Jared, can you describe what the first story is about?
No, because the one that stuck with me most was the third one. That was my favorite.
That was my favorite as well. The second one stuck with me the most, but the third one was my favorite.
Well, maybe I'm mixing up. What was the second one?
Well, the second one just like was also Riley Rossimo
drawing
I think he drew the second one. Because, I don't want to get confused with this. The second one in here is written by Christopher Long and drawn by Jean-Paul Suka. And Christopher Long has written some 30 Days a Night stuff and some other stuff, Emissary and Ward Estate.
Right, and then the third one was drawn by Rossimo and written by...
By Dirk Manning.
Yes, okay, there we go.
And so the second story is about basically like a guy who's being haunted and a guy who's like... whose job is to help relationships between ghosts and people, like help them work their stuff out. I don't know if we should say what happens in the end, but that's why that kind of stuck with me. It was just like a very Twilight Zone-y, silly ending. I don't know. Anyway.
It's a little goofy. But
then the third story I think is pretty good. It's about like lost love and, Jared, you said it was your favorite. Why don't you talk about it a little
bit? Yeah, that one, it felt like Rossimo was going more into his, like, stylized look even than some of the others.
And his art in the first story seemed very rushed, and then the third story seemed much more finished.
It's just like a guy in a mariachi band playing and singing about his lost love, and then he sees a girl in the crowd who has run in the first story as well. So I don't know if that's like one of the themes, is this girl kind of shows up and stuff, but he thinks that she really reminds him of his love that he's lost, and then just talks to her the whole time and like says, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, you really remind this girl, and are you her returned? So it's kind of this weird like pseudo, I don't know, supernatural love thing or just like projection or whatever. But
yeah, and they kind of spend the evening together, and she's
it was cool.
She's acting very ghostly.
She's strange.
Ethereal. Yeah, so the whole thing, I mean...
And the first one is kind of just like more art. It's more like a poem, first story he did. It was like a lot of big splash pages and like kind of, I'd say like lyrical captions more than a story. I think that was the problem, is it was just kind of like evoking a mood or... But it's also like all the images were weird.
Yeah.
Like riding a hell bike and I don't even know what was going on.
Yeah, but the whole thing just didn't really grab me. And I think if it's going to be this format for each issue, which I assume it is, or I don't know if these stories are going to continue, but it doesn't feel like they're going to.
Yeah,
I think it'll continue to be hit and miss, like a lot of things like this are. But I don't know.
And it's oversized.
I do like the oversized format, and I like the page. The feel of the pages are kind of
nice,
like
paper.
Yeah, really nice paper and really nice printing, and the colors in this are great. But overall, it's just too all over the place.
It's okay.
Not great.
It's not, it didn't blow me away. Okay, up next we got a new book from Paul Jenkins and Humberto Ramos, who have worked together on a bunch of things before, I feel like. But Jenkins wrote I don't know, what is his big thing? Probably Inhumans.
Yeah, we always say Inhumans, yeah.
Yeah, but he also wrote The Sentry, also with Jay Lee, and did a pretty, like, one of my favorite runs on Spider-Man, actually, was him and Mark Buckingham.
Oh, right, true.
And wrote some Hellblazer. And then Humberto Ramos, of course, has been doing Spider-Man recently. He did Impulse back in the day, like not steampunk, that was Chris Bachalo. Just he's done a ton of Spider-Man stuff
Crimson. Over the years, yeah.
Yeah, and he did Crimson and Out There.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a new book. I'd say it's like maybe a little bit similar to Fables.
Yeah, here's the thing about this book. It was a Kickstarter that they did, and it was 48-page hardcover that they put out, and only sold at conventions and stuff, and so it was kind of hard to get. So they put it out in 2 issues, and Boom is putting it out.
Oh,
now
I did not. Make sense.
Yeah,
it's weird how Kickstarter's been shaking up the publication schedule for a lot of this stuff or formats. Anyway,
it's weird. But the basic premise of this is that all the kind of fairy tale characters all live in the same world, but they're kind of forced to reenact their stories every day. So like people
and
don't
stick
forget
to their stories,
don't forget them. And, yeah, and they're not allowed to change. And so it's got kind of those themes of wanting to be free or whatever from, you know, live your own life and whatever. But the main character in this is Little Red Riding Hood, and she's like, you know, the youngest one, and she really wants to see the rest of the world and just get out of this monotony. And she's friends with the big bad wolf, so she doesn't want to keep reenacting the story where they kill him. And I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought it was like a good kind of lighthearted kids thing that, you know, like even younger readers could read, which we were talking about earlier. There's not too many of them. And I actually really like Humberto Ramos' art in this. I thought it was a lot better than he's been lately. Like, feels like in Spider-Man and stuff, he's been a little rushed and stuff. But this looks like he had a lot of time to work on it. And
well, I think also
the color,
like,
is really good.
When he can kind of cut loose into his more exaggerated cartoony style.
Right.
And, like, I feel like that's always reined in on Spider-Man. He just can't, like, have the gigantic eyes and, like, weird, you know, I don't know, contortions of the body that all these characters fit very well in a fairy tale.
But also, I know that Kevin did not like this.
Yeah, that's true. I wasn't even going to say anything. But, yeah, it just felt like I really feel like I've been seeing this story a lot recently.
No, when you said earlier, like, Fables, it's very much that kind of, like, twist on the fairy tale thing.
Yeah, know? Like in Fables, or particularly in Jack of Fables, like the
that
stuff in the beginning of that.
Yeah.
Or like the stuff with the literals in Jack of Fables. And then I feel like Memorial was also a similar kind of thing, where, like, a bunch of the different characters all live in a shared universe together. And, like, isn't the place they're in, it's like Fable Town or something like that,
something
is
like
it?
That, yeah.
And I don't know. It's, you know, it's certainly not bad. It's just not what I'm looking for, I think, at the moment.
It's kind of like a Fables for kids.
Yeah. Is it for kids?
Yeah.
Do you think any kid would want to read this?
Yeah. It's pretty fun. Yeah. It's pretty fun and lighthearted. And they were like, I don't know, they know all the characters already. You know, they'll
That's
be like,
true.
Oh, Little Red Riding Hood.
That wolf is pretty cool.
He's trapped in the story, and the wolf is pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then Ramos, you know, I do think you're right about his art being a lot better in this.
But you don't usually like it anyways.
So. Yeah, you know, I've liked him in the past. I loved Out There and Crimson back in the day. I don't know. He doesn't evolve. It's not, I don't know if that matters, but maybe it does a little bit. Yeah, I don't know.
It's great.
Yeah. Up next we have Fearless Defenders. This is written by Cullen Bunn, the aforementioned Cullen Bunn, who writes Six Gun, and he's been writing Wolverine recently, and he wrote The Damned, which is a book I know Nick likes a lot.
He's got a new one called Helheim coming up, which looks like Northlander's follow-up. It looks very
exciting. It looks like Northlander's by way of Six Gun or something like that. Like, it looks really cool.
Can't wait.
And the art in this is by Will Slinney, who's an Irish artist who's worked on a bunch of stuff, Farscape, Star Wars in England, a bunch of stuff.
He's in one of the Zooda competitions that DC ran a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his art is
newish guy.
His art's interesting. It's kind of cartoony, but not too cartoony. Yeah.
He has a really good sense of space, like, in the action scenes are really well choreographed, I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, Jared, why don't you tell people about Fearless Defenders?
All right, so Defenders is like one of those classic old Marvel teams where it's kind of like the weird characters thrown together, but this one is like a whole new group of people.
Yeah, because typically it's always been...
Not always. They've changed it a lot, but it's been like...
But the core is like
Hulk, Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like that, where you're just like, why are these people together, and yet they're kind of fun. This one, they have a little thing in the back talking about it, that this started off as a different concept, and they said, why not use the Defenders name? So it's...
Sounds like they really thought it through.
Yeah. But it's Valkyrie, who's kind of a Thor-ish sidekick.
For you, those of you that don't remember, this follows up on events in Fearless.
Oh, boy.
Oh, but Colin Bunn wrote some of those.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of them.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of the side ones. Yeah. And, oh, man, who's the main girl? Misty Knight?
No, yeah, Misty Knight. Misty Knight. From Daughters of the Dragon.
And Heroes for Hire.
Heroes for Hire, yeah. And it's kind of weird because it's like a mix of an adventure story where there's like...
A little bit of Indiana Jones.
Viking stuff going... Yeah, exactly. Like bringing in Valkyrie because there's like evil Viking artifacts and magics. Yeah, very Indiana Jones style. And then like adventure-y with like guns and bad guys.
But mostly feels kind of like a buddy cop kind of thing.
Yes.
Where
like the mismatched
like
team
from opposite sides of the track.
it's like if Uncharted had co-op.
right. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, she's basically like a, you know, Missy Knight's like the hard boiled detective with a cybernetic arm, and Valkyrie is the what is she, the Asgardian handmaiden.
Oh my God, we need to take over Hollywood. Yeah. But yeah, and then they meet up with Missy Knight's friend, who's a sexy archaeologist who's researching Viking stuff.
It's so stupid, but it's true. I don't know.
Yeah. As always, most comics sound terrible when you talk about them.
In
but
the future,
kind of fun.
There'll be more people coming on.
Yeah, so they're going to be adding people to the team.
The only other one I saw was Moonstar.
Yeah, she should be
the
next one.
Is it Moonstar?
Moonstone?
Danny Moonstone. No, it's not Moonstone.
Isn't it Moonstone?
No, it's Moonstar.
Moonstone's a different character.
She runs Moonstone Comics, and they put out a bunch of great stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Did you guys really get into this?
No. I didn't love it, but I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
It's one of those that's... It was okay. Yeah.
I was like happy to see, like I was getting a little bored, and then there were like skeletons with swords, and I was like, okay, I'm on board for this. And then like at the very end, I like the kind of bad guy. He looks like he'd be on the cover of a heavy metal album or something.
Right,
but yeah, I don't know. Altogether, it was so goofy.
Yeah, it was definitely goofy.
It was really goofy.
Never can describe it as like one of those kind of fun pulpy ones, but not like those great.
It wasn't
like a lot of stuff going on. Once.
Yeah,
it was a simple, fun book.
I felt that like it was supposed to be like a little like a screwball comedy, but like the dialogue wasn't quite snappy enough. Like it wasn't pulling me in. But I'll be curious to see where it goes and what happens when they add Danny Moonstone star to the team and all that stuff. Yeah. But but then we've got another new creative team on a book. Well, that's not what just happened. But anyway, that was my terrible segue.
No, that's good. I mean, we've had requests from people that we should be trying to have reviews when a book like switches the creative teams and kind of goes in a direction, and that's what happens with Green Arrow 17.
It is, yeah. So Jeff Lemire is now writing this book. He wrote Essex County, of course, and Sweet Tooth, and our graphic novel of the year, Underwater Welder.
Yeah.
And also more recently, he's been writing Animal Man and Justice League Dark.
Yep.
And Andrea Sorrentino's drawing this. She drew iVampire, is probably definitely what she's most well known for. Yeah. And she was pulled off of iVampire to draw
That's
this.
That's one of the unfortunate things about this is like they pulled her off right before like the last like three or four issues of iVampire, and they have a bunch of random artists filling in on each issue. It's not even the same artist drawing all the issues.
Oh, really?
Which is unfortunate for that book. But for this book, it's great because Andrea Sorrentino is a really good artist. Her art's very similar to, I'd say, Jay Lee. I think everybody would say that, but she's good at it. She's not aping his style or whatever. But yeah, so this is I think what's going on here is like they're pulling the TV show Arrow, and they're kind of giving this a similar tone to that. But that show is garbage, and this comic is actually really good. So it's kind of about Oliver Queen who's become much younger. He's not like the guy with the goatee anymore, which I always thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
But his father died, and he's supposed to inherit the company.
Right.
And this guy's been running and basically ran it into the ground. And then the guy's like, look, I got to tell you this secret. And then he gets killed.
Yep.
And so the rest of the issue is kind of Oliver Queen on the run trying to figure out who's after him, like how people know his secret identity and kind of what's going on. And this other character shows up who's kind of like, almost looks exactly like Green Arrow.
It's like the antithesis.
Yeah, like he's the anti-Green Arrow. And so that's about it. It seems
the only thing it really has in common with the show, despite the fact that he's younger or whatever, is that it seems to be kind of focusing on the island and what happened on the island when he's younger.
Yeah, so that's the thing that I knew from the show and maybe didn't know as much from the comic before. Yeah. So I don't know if that was already part of it.
Green Arrow year one, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
Which,
but I think they just have been building it up because... In the old continuity, he was just so much older that it was so far in the past that people don't really
Yeah, it doesn't matter as much. The only Green Arrow stuff I really know is like the old Neil Adams, Danny O'Neill stuff, which is awesome. It's so good. But and then the old, really old Jack Kirby stuff, which has like almost nothing to do with anything. But yeah, I thought this was really fun. It's almost like one big chase scene once you get a few pages into it.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
But the way the action is laid out and stuff, I feel like Andrea Sorrentino's taken a lot of like a lot of notes from like J.H. Williams, like some of the way she frames the stuff, and particularly like she'll draw a big picture and then put like a bunch of frames around the action,
and also the one of the other cool things is the use of color in this.
Yeah,
there's a couple panels where like something kind of like some kind of action will be happening and it'll be in not black and white, but it's like white and green, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty interesting. It like kind of free frames the action with the white and green.
Yeah, there's a great part where this basically anti-Green Arrow. They didn't name
Komodo.
Komodo, yeah. They're both shooting arrows at each other, and there's just like this freeze frame of the two arrows passing each other. And it's just like, it's a little thing, but it's cool.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I was talking about the lost thing before. I'm just going to spoil the end of this book, so you got
it. Like, we have to go back. Spoiler.
Yeah, he's like, you were never supposed to leave the island. You know, it's like it's like drunk Jack. Like,
oh, and also, I like to say that one of the things that, like, I like this a lot, but one of the things that I thought was really funny about it was that it's been, Green Arrow's been pretty terrible for like a while now, and they're like, let's bring in this new writer and see if he can fix everything. And so Jeff Lemire comes in, he's like, all right, let's kill all the characters that were in this book before except for Green Arrow.
Let's
and
completely turn Green Arrow
take
on his
away
head,
his
take
company
money,
and make him go away. It's pretty funny.
So all these people that are killed in this issue were
have been in the run since the beginning.
A lot of them.
And they just like get killed like instantly.
Like within like seven pages. Yeah. Everybody's dead.
Yeah. Spoilers, but.
Yeah, but you know, it's the first issue.
I think most people listening to this have not been reading Green Arrow and now are like going to.
Yeah, hopefully, because this was a really good issue. It was really well paced. Like Nick said, the coloring was great, and the just the art in general was cool. And like, I want to read it.
Yeah,
which is more than I could say about a Green Arrow comic.
Best Archer book around.
yeah. Well, Hawkeye's like the best book around. I think the last time I read Green Arrow was when like Green Arrow and Black Canary were getting married. I read that like wedding issue.
I read some of that, and some of that was all right.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, but this is a really good book.
Yes.
All right. Up next, we've got a book that can only be described as crazy. This is this is Jihad. This is a hardcover by Igor Baranko, who has an interesting story actually himself. He was a Ukrainian soldier in the Red Army, and he why can't I think of the word? Defected.
Defected.
I don't know what. And just kind of got out of there and then wrote this really interesting graphic novel.
He lost himself, in the back of the cover says, he lost himself in the Buddhist regions of Siberia in searching of something he would never quite find.
And he's done other stuff, but I don't think any of it's really ever come out here. Or
a few of the early ones like 10 years ago, just like very small publishers that I remember the title, but I don't know if I ever saw.
Well, the weird thing is this came out like 10 years ago, right? But it was called The Horde?
Yeah, it's called The Horde. Apparently Jihad was not a popular title in the American market in 2001.
2004, so. So, but I guess he did AQQ in 93, Pafitos in 2001, and Skaggy the Lost in 2002, and another thing called Maxim Ossa in 2008. So hopefully some of that other stuff comes out here, because
his art is great.
The art in this is fantastic, but this is a pretty interesting book. But for me, too hard to explain, so Jared, why don't you try?
All right, so this is definitely the European school of like the Mobius Jodorowsky thing, where they're just throwing concepts at you nonstop, and they're all over the top, crazy sci-fi weird stuff. Basically, it's set in the future. There's a new Russian president who used to be a sci-fi writer who is now obsessed with conquering Asia and Europe.
Who is absolutely the best character in this book.
I don't know.
He's so funny.
There are a lot of good characters. That's true. He's hilarious. His plan is to find out who Genghis Khan was reincarnated as, find that person, kill them, eat their body, and thereby taking their power, reincarnating himself as the new Genghis Khan, who will now have the modern wherewithal to reconquer Asia and not stop, but conquer all of Europe.
Yeah, insane.
But there is another reincarnation, or the current reincarnation of Genghis Khan's descendant, who is psychic. Plus, there's the Ukrainian and Russian Secret Service and like military guys running around. And just random policemen who were irradiated by Chernobyl and have psychic powers.
Well, then there's the monk, too.
There's the monk, the priest, like the Orthodox priest or the crazy Chechenian.
I'm talking about the
guy with the
woman monk.
Oh yeah. Well, I think that's maybe one of the reincarnations. There's a lot of like duality going on. But another character is one of the last Chechenians who's alive. Apparently, Chechnya has been irradiated by nuclear weapons, but he has been meditating with his guns, preparing to come back into the world on his quest for Allah to like set the world right. And so he's running around and just being like, if God, you know, Allah doesn't want me to die, I'm not going to die, while people are shooting at him. And
well, yeah, basically
he's like
reached a state of enlightenment where he doesn't care whether he dies or not, so bullets can't harm him. But then you think he's crazy, but then at one point a portal appears and makes some of his enemies disappear.
Those are the aliens, the UFOs. I forgot about them. They're kidnapping people and
there's just weird UFOs coming around kidnapping people
and
impregnating
people.
Yep.
And the ghost of Genghis Khan at some point.
A lot of psychic projections and hallucinations going on.
I think trippy as hell.
I think Jodorowsky is a good comparison. I mean, Mobius, you definitely see a lot of Mobius in the art, of course, a lot of European artists. But and the art in this is fantastic. But yeah, I think Jodorowsky in the sense that there are like a lot of big crazy ideas
like
in this
philosophical
book.
Stuff. Yeah,
but then the storytelling can be a little all over the place sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
At least for me. I mean,
it doesn't follow like a normal structure of a story.
yeah, that's definitely true. But at the same time, there's like always a bunch of stuff going on. And
yeah,
it's always,
I love this comic.
Yeah, and there's always something to it, and there's always something really interesting going on. Even though there's like a million ideas flying at you and you're not sure what any of it means, you kind of get caught up in it, and it's like pretty exciting. And
it's like the kind of comic where you have to like get your bearings every once in a while, and like sit down and be like, okay, where am I right now? Like, what is happening?
It's like, all right, so we're watching, the Scythians are attacking in 7th century BC. All right, now it's back in the future, and the crazy president is using his cyber goggles to talk to his own projection in a mirror. Next page, it's a Chechenian holy warrior talking to UFOs.
Yeah, it's like
every few pages.
Shooting at the sky to kill UFOs because they impregnated his daughter.
Yeah.
I think the part where I thought I was losing my mind.
Oh, Abraham Lincoln?
Is where the clones of like Abraham Lincoln and God, who else shows
Isaac
up?
Newton.
Isaac Newton show up. I'm like, what is going on?
It's, you know, we tried cloning all these people just because they're geniuses, but
it worked. It worked, but then, you know, people didn't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except about Isaac Newton, who ended up being a genius but went insane.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crazy book. I think the part where I lost my mind was there's a part where the president is having like a dream.
Yeah.
And it's just like and his face starts melting and stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? Because you don't know it's a dream at that point. And then like he's just telling people about his crazy dream about meeting Genghis Khan and having his face melt.
Yep.
It's a crazy book. That's Jihad by Igor Barenko.
I highly recommend it.
I do too, actually.
All right, one thing, the cover is terrible. Like we said, we put up art on the bigplanetcomics.com. It's got some of the interior page. It's so much better.
Yeah, it is a weird cover for what this is. Like I don't think it really gets across the craziness.
It doesn't get across anything.
No, it doesn't get across anything. All right, so up next we've got another big graphic novel. This is One Trick Ripoff and Deep Cuts. This is a collection of a bunch of Paul Pope's older stuff. Probably most people know Paul Pope from
Batman.
Yep,
his T-shirt
Batman
line,
Year 100. Yeah, from his stuff from Diesel. They know him from being the Comics Destroyer. Yeah. but he also did THB, Ballad of Dr. Richardson, Escapo, and his upcoming Battling Boy looks fantastic.
So
but 100% is always the thing I think of.
And Heavy Liquid.
And Heavy Liquid, of course. So this collects One Trick Ripoff, which was his third graphic novel.
Oof. Third or fourth. It ran in Dark Horse Presents. It was like a short little crime thing. Dark Horse Presents way back in the day was black and white, and so this is colored.
So is this the first time this was colored?
Yep.
Or did it have like dual colors before, or I'm getting that mixed up with
Heavy
Liquid?
It might be Heavy Liquid. Yeah, okay. It might have just been black and white before.
Okay. Well, the colors look great.
Yes.
I'm assuming, we don't have it written down here, I'm assuming Jose Villarubia colored this.
It might have been someone else. But anyway, the back of it, the Deep Cuts reference, is all the stuff from around that time, which was the mid-90s, I believe, when Pope was just kind of traveling around the world. He just had all his short stories he was working on at different times. So this includes, like, what, 10, 12 short stories of his?
Something like that, yeah.
Some of which are just, like, little bits of poetry that he turned into comics, and some when he worked in Japan, some when he was in New York, and...
Yeah, and some of those
all over the place.
All those have great art. Some of them aren't as interesting, like the text and stuff in them.
Yeah.
But I think I think everything in here is at least interesting and worth reading. The one big standout for me is Super Trouble.
So good.
Which is a comic that he had done when he was working for, was he working for Kodansha?
Yeah.
In Japan? And I assume this was like in one of their like weeklies or something like that. And it's just a story about like three girls that kind of have, well, they don't really have superpowers, but they have like super technology stuff.
This is vaguely sci-fi themed.
Yeah, and it's just about them getting into an eating contest at a
Indian restaurant.
An Indian restaurant, and it's really funny, and it's got like a very like you know, like a lot of Paul Pope stuff. It's got that kind of like Lower East Side of the future feel to it, and it but mixed with Japanese, and it's really cool. But I think we should probably talk about the plot of One Trick Ripoff.
Yeah, that takes up, what, half of the book?
Yeah, yeah, it's like 100 and something pages.
Yeah, so basically, those are the two things you'd buy this book for. Super Trouble's amazing. One Trick Ripoff is the main part of the book. The rest of it is like extra filler that's cool, but it's not nearly, I think, as important.
Well, there's one other thing called Night Job in the back of this that's pretty cool as well, and that's really cool. Very similar to One Trick Ripoff, though.
And it kind of leads into like Heavy Liquid or 100%, more like 100% story of just like guy in the future sort of thing, but...
But One Trick Ripoff is kind of a story of these kind of young people in love. And
is it Tubby and Vim?
Tubby and Vim, yeah. And basically they're trying to get out of the city because things are just terrible. Like, you know, it's in the future. Everything is super violent and terrible. And they're both what are called One Tricks.
Which is one of the gangs in the city.
But they're called One Tricks because they all have like one sort of special power.
Yep. Yeah. Which was the twist that I read this like so many years ago and I totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice like sci-fi twist to a very straightforward crime story.
Superhero-ish.
Yeah.
But the story itself is a really straightforward crime story of basically like they're going to
rip off their gang to get the money to get out of town and start a new life.
But then of course as these things do it becomes a double cross
or a triple cross
and things start to get really complicated and you know everything goes wrong. And then things get crazy and people get shot and killed and you know it's very much a basic kind of, you know, it came out in 95 and it feels like one of those 90s kind of crime things like Pulp Fiction or like True Romance or those things that were really popular at the time. But then that one trick element of it gives it a little extra thing, and the fact that it's Paul Pope,
it's just like hyperkinetic.
Like
you'll have like 20 pages of the two of them sitting on the roof looking at the stars talking about what they're trying to do and stuff, and then like 20 pages of just like nonstop chasing over the rooftops with like ridiculous situations.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but all really well paced and really fun to look at. And I think kinetic is definitely the word. And reading this, I actually haven't read any Paul Pope stuff in a little while besides that little short thing he did in one of those
Adventures.
In Strange Adventures, which I thought was great. But seeing
Strange Tales, sorry.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Battling Boy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because his action scenes are so good. And I don't know how I forgot, but I kind of forgot how good they were.
Yeah.
And overall, I mean, if you're a Paul Pope fan, this is just like a really well put together collection.
Yeah.
And I think everything in here is worth reading. You know, like we said, some things are better than others, but everything is good.
Yes.
And if you're interested in them, I mean, there's the intro to this is really great, too, which is by Charles Brownstein, who's the guy that runs CBLDF, who's a really cool guy. And he's a really cool guy, you guys. But it's actually a pretty in-depth look at Paul Pope's sort of early career.
Yeah.
This is a great book. Probably the best thing that came out this week, in my mind.
Or last week.
Or whatever. This podcast. I mean, Jihad's also really, really good. But definitely a highly recommended comic. All right, we got a few more things. We've got up next Red Team number one. I don't know why I said number one, but this is number one. This is a new series from Dynamite by Garth Ennis, who wrote
all the old stuff.
Yeah, I was trying
to wrote something. I don't remember.
I was trying to think of like the most random thing he wrote. This is from Garth Ennis, writer of Dicks,
Fury, Peacemaker,
and Just a Pilgrim. He wrote. he of course wrote Preacher and The Boys and Hellblazer and all that stuff. And this is art by Craig Saramack, who drew Voltron Year One. And does a webcomic called The Vitruvian Underground. So,
this comic's a lot like Voltron.
This is a lot like Voltron in that there is a team.
Yeah. And they combine to form
the murdering of criminals.
They use the sword. So basically, Red Team, I could sum it up in a sentence.
Do it.
It's a group of cops who become the Punisher.
Well,
they're like kind of like a secret not a secret team. They're like an elite unit of police officers who are put together to, you know, like a crime task force. And they cross the line and decide to start killing the criminals.
They have a criminal that they're like, this guy's bad and we just can't get him legally.
Yeah. And like, so like we have
should
to
we go
him.
Further? Yeah.
And so basically you find that out in like the first page. So that's not giving anything away. And because the framing sequence is like the main guy, in the unit, like being interrogated about what they did
by other cops. Yeah, like after being
is there
caught.
A way to give something away about this book? I feel like it's all like there in the first page, yeah. And it's like,
and then, you know, and then the rest is the story of how they came to that.
I think that's the problem. This whole first issue is so much setup that
so much dialogue.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. It's just like
I did.
it's like this should be half of the first comic.
Yeah,
you know, like what's going to happen in issue two is really going to show where this thing's going or what. You know, the twist is almost like,
yeah, because the problem isn't that there's too much dialogue. It's the problem is that there's a lot of superfluous dialogue.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
like where they get to at the end of this issue is basically where you realize they are within like two pages
right,
of this
right,
issue.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like Jared's right. Like you could have got there a lot faster. So basically, the big thing in this issue, I don't think it's given too much away, is like they all realize that, you know, they're so elite that they can get away with this. Like, you know, it's like not going to be a problem for them. And basically the whole idea behind the first issue was like, that is the problem, is like they're too good at it.
Yeah.
You know, it was too easy for them to just kill this guy.
Yeah.
And so I think you get there pretty fast, and then there's still like 20 more pages yeah. left in the book.
Right.
Right.
Which is unfortunate because I like the idea, you know. Yeah. I like that it doesn't spend a lot of time like putting the team together or whatever, like yeah. a lot of these things would do.
But it's a lot just like,
I feel like it just spends,
dialogue.
Yeah, it spends too much time doing other things that didn't need to be done besides that.
So, I didn't have much problem of where it starts and ends, but I just feel that, yeah, like you said, it's just crammed with too much, like, superfluous stuff where, like, they could do everything they did exactly like they did it, but just have, like, less random stuff that they're talking about and just, I mean, yeah. I mean, it ends with, I think it ends pretty well. I like where it ends, like, in what they say.
Yeah, maybe it's just they could have emphasized other things.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it could have, they could have made it more the story of this guy that they're, you know, like, all the terrible things that he's done, which I think would have been more interesting than the framing sequence of him dealing with this interrogator.
Right, so I think like, the hook in issue two, I expect there'll be something really cool. It's just, I don't know if people are going to get around for it. You know?
The hook is everything that happens in the first issue.
No,
well,
I mean,
that didn't get me
I don't
hooked.
Think there's any other twist coming.
Well, clearly he gets caught. And he's talking about how easy it was, so there's something.
But
well,
I think the next issue is just going to be him talking about the next one. I really do.
Really?
Yeah. I really do think that's exactly
all right.
What
I believe
it's
in you,
be.
Garth Ennis. Don't let that happen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
In issue two.
So we'll see. Obviously, Red Team was not one of our favorite things of the week. It's still
actually good though.
Yeah, the art is pretty solid. It, you know, reminded me a lot of Activity.
Yeah.
And that book ended up picking up after the first issue. So you know, we'll see where it goes. I think we're all probably going to keep reading it. And
maybe we'll
come back with issue two if it gets more interesting.
Yeah,
and we'll let you guys know. All right, on to the next one. This is Silver Darlings. This is a hardcover from, is this Self-Made Hero that put this out?
Blank Slate.
They do good stuff.
Which is Self-Made, right?
Self-Made's a different company. Blank Slate is also Chalkboards, but Self-Made is a different company.
There we go.
But this is by Will Morris, who I have it. It says here, Will Morris lives and works in London. He self-published his first comic, The Cotton Fox, in 2010 for a friend's charity pop-up shop. And then it says stuff about how he likes to draw. I thought this was a pretty cool book.
It's
like
amazing.
A really, really good book. Yeah, it's basically about the son of a captain of a fishing ship, and this kid named Danny. And he's kind of, it's his first days out on the ship, and he wants to prove that all these superstitions that all these fishers have are kind of bunk, you know? So
yeah, he's like the kid who's about to go off to college, so he's like the next generation of this family that's really leaving the old ways behind and just doesn't want to put up with the ridiculous.
He doesn't understand the old ways.
Yeah, he's utterly unprepared for this, too. It's not like he's a sailor kid who's finally going off to school. He's like the intellectual who's divorced from this working class family in a lot of ways. So
yeah, but so as it goes on, you know, it's kind of about the ship's in a failing area where like they're herring fishermen and the herring are drying up, like, you know, like is happening in a lot of places that are being overfished and stuff. But he just kind of, I don't know, it's a really lyrical comic.
Yeah.
There's not like a lot of story. It's
It's a lot of mood and
yeah,
like,
a lot of mood. Things go wrong though, and I don't want to say exactly what happens because I don't want to.
Yeah, you don't
it kind of so,
yeah.
Like there's not a lot that happens, but I will say that it ends up being a story about him bonding with these people on the ship and kind of learning that maybe he doesn't know as much as he thinks he does about everything,
yeah.
And also, you know, and also some great high seas action stuff as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like you know, they go through a really terrible storm. And
kind of the crux is also is that he finds a ridiculous superstition and says, I'm going to prove them wrong by going against this. So you're kind of like waiting for either, I don't know, terrible emotional.
Yeah, you're just waiting for the other
shoe or something
fall.
To happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that lends a weight and a kind of tension behind everything that's happening at the same time. And I don't know. All in all, it's just kind of like a really good coming of age story,
and it's got this great kind of black and white watercolor art.
Good.
So that's the thing with this: the art is. I mean, the story is great, but the art in this is the way he uses watercolor for everything, whether it's the sea or the sky. Yeah. He just
the
kind
fish.
Of yeah,
oh, it's so good.
It's all just really well laid out. His art reminds me a lot of GP,
guy
who did GarageBand and some other stuff.
Innocence,
yeah, and it just has a really loose feel to it.
Yeah.
But it's so good. It just really works good. So well. Like we said earlier, we've got some art from this up on
the
web.
Check it out, cuz this guy's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, all I can say is I can recommend it very, very highly.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know. Is there anything else to say about this book?
Buy it.
Yeah, just buy it.
It's so good.
It's really good. Okay, just a couple more this week. We've got a really good book actually. This is Snapshot number 1. This is a new series, mini series. Does anybody know?
It was actually chronicled in Judge Dredd magazine, believe it or not.
Oh, so this has already come out in Judge Dredd magazine?
Magazine, yeah.
So all you British listeners, I'm sure you guys, this is old news
just
to you.
Just shut it down, you guys.
So, yeah,
we'll see you next time.
They decided to release it in issue form.
So this is by Andy Diggle and Jock, who, of course, did The Loser, so I would say are most famous for that, and also did the aforementioned Green Arrow Year One.
It's all coming together.
And circles.
The word,
all circles.
The word aforementioned has been aforementioned like three times in this episode. I thought this was a really good, straight to the point crime thing that was pretty cool.
So this one's a weird, like, just regular dude thrown into the middle of some crime conspiracy thing. The guy luckily works at a comic book shop in San Francisco, so I really felt the danger throughout this, where he basically is just going along and finds someone's dropped cell phone and then gets a call from it, and the person he assumes is coming to pick out tries to kill him at the comic book shop. He escapes out the back and then is like, am I being, you know, some sort of crazy conspiracy? Is that guy just a nut job or what?
Well, before the guy tries to come and kill him, he looks at the phone and there are pictures of a dead body.
Bodies
on it. Somebody who's been
it,
shot. Yeah. And yeah, it's got a very Alfred Hitchcock feel to
yes,
it.
Well
like
put, yeah.
Like very, you know, any Alfred Hitchcock movie that has Jimmy Stewart in it, this kid is Jimmy Stewart.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, basically what Jared just described is about it. He tries to go to the cops, and they don't
things
believe him.
Things go poorly.
Because, I don't know if I want to say
yeah,
who shows up.
It's full of twists, and yeah, he's got a ridiculous, like, nerdy sidekick friend who always shops at the store that kind of helps him out on the investigating and stuff, and crazy things happen.
So that was kind of the only part about this that I didn't like was his, like, nerdy friend
I
found to be,
he
like...
He was, like, really over-nerded.
Yeah. But,
a little bit, yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah. We also had wife problems, which was kind of funny. Added a little bit to it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, but overall, I thought this was really cool. It's, you know, and it's all being set up. Yeah,
it's compelling and an amazing ending that I'm just like, can't wait.
Yeah, and like just a lot of twists and turns that, you know, you should just read this. I don't want to really talk about the stuff that happens because that's what makes this good.
Yeah. Yep.
But the art's great. Jock.
There's a lot of WTF moments.
A lot of WTF moments. A lot of
maybe OMG moments.
A lot of OMGs. A lot of YOLOs. A lot of hashtag Gangnam Styles. and that's pretty much it for this week. Although Nick wanted to mention that there's a new creative team on Winter Soldier. You said that was
Oh, yeah. There's good and bad 15. News about Winter Soldier. It was written by, you know, Ed Brubaker for a long time. And taking over now is Jason Latour with Nick Klein, who did, like, Vikings and stuff. And Jason Latour did Loose Ends. The good and bad news is that it's pretty much the same. If you like that Brubaker stuff, you'll like this. It's
good.
Got the same tone, same
that's
kind of style.
Comparison.
And the art is actually similar to it. So it's great. Yeah, and just stick with it, I guess.
Yeah,
and if you were thinking about dropping it, don't. It's still really good.
And coming from the other side, I wasn't reading it, and I was able to just jump in and read this issue, and I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so,
it's great.
Yeah, cool. Well, that is also Superior Spider-Man number 3 was really good, you guys.
Yeah.
And, New Avengers
and
3.
New Avengers number
blew
3.
Blew my mind.
I don't know, Jared, did you read anything else this week that...
Those were the big ones.
That caught your attention?
Yeah. New Avengers 3, man. So good.
Good.
Blew my mind.
Tales Designed to Thrizzle. Second volume was super awesome. And New Deadwardians came out in trade this week.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good week. It looks like there's a lot of cool stuff coming out next week, too. And we will be back here to talk about it we are on the weeks that we decide to.
Yeah, and anyone who's still listening, don't forget iTunes, review us, call us, email us, tweet us, give us some dim questions.
But mostly give us iTunes reviews because we want to be famous, you
guys. Yeah, hit us up on iTunes.
All right, see you.